forward. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. And I just pray within the sound of my voice, every person, every man, every woman, God, we just sense your nudge this morning. God, help people, lift people, inspire people. Oh God, breathe on your church the breath of life that they might be an army, I pray. Lord, I pray within the sound of my voice and overflow and those who would even watch online, I pray that you would do miracles. I speak the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the promises of God over every life, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. And I believe, Lord, for you to speak to people today, do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we ask or imagine. And a faith-filled church said, come on, a faith-filled church said, come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. You can grab your seat. Slap your neighbor and tell them been waiting all week to sit next to you. Limitless is a message that God whispered to my heart in a prayer meeting that actually I hold every Tuesday at our kids' place, and a bunch of men get together and we pray at 6 a.m. Someone say 6 a.m. Someone say, I know it's early, but say it's worth it. I know it's early, but it's worth it. And God spoke to my heart that I actually had the wrong series for what was upcoming, which is I like to plan things, but I actually like when God shifts me, because when God shifts me, it means I'm listening. And it means that I perhaps got it wrong, but he can get it right, right? That I might be heading the wrong direction, but he can get me in the right direction. Amen. And actually, I would actually say that many times, sometimes Christians are so afraid to plan because they're afraid to get it wrong. But I would actually say to you, no, plan. Yeah. And then let God guide you and let God speak to you and just say, well, I'm going to plan my life. I'm going to be a doctor. And then he's like, no, just be a nurse. I'm going to be a nurse. He's like, no, believe more, be a doctor. Yeah. I'm going to be an accountant. He's like, no, I want you to be in finance. I want you to be in finance. He says, no, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to play tennis. He's like, no, I want you to play golf. I don't know what it is God wants to speak to you, but I know he has something to speak to you today. Are you with me? And the series Limitless is about taking the limits off your life, taking the limits that would hold you. And one of the limits that might hold you is a wrong relationship or just simply a wrong way of thinking or wrong way of doing. How many know that God always has more room for us to grow? He always wants to continue to transform you. He's not done with you. He's not, you haven't been a Christian 20 years, like, oh, I've done it all. No. He has more for you. If you're on planet Earth, he has more for you and more for to do through you in Jesus' name. But I have often found that God, when he wants to do something through me, he gets me to imagine it. He gets me to believe it. He challenges me to ask bigger. See, my ask and my imagination are actually tied in to the faith that God wants to do through you. I want you to know that God doesn't just want to go do something in you. He wants to do it through you. And I think that many times that in the Christian life, that many times people are convinced many times that God wants to do something in them, but they're not convinced that God wants to do something through them. And I want you to tie your faith and understand that God wants to do something through you. And one of the reasons that we talk about connect groups in our church and we talk about dream teams in our church so much is because they are the vehicle with which God will do something through you. Why? Because God is always putting you in a team of people. You can make a difference by yourself, but how many of you know that you can make a bigger difference with someone else? Amen. Amen. Our church can make a bigger difference with everyone, right? The name of Jesus can be greater with everyone. We can give more away with everyone. And so I want you to know today that God is going to challenge your ask. God's going to challenge your imagination to what you believe that God can do through you. Are you with me, church? Last week we began to talk about being tied emotionally to dead things. But I want to preach this message today called The Way Forward is the Way Forward. The Way Forward isn't backward. The way forward isn't God fixing every bit of your mistakes of your past. He will forgive all the mistakes of your past. But how many know that sometimes the way forward out of that situation is just saying, God has something for me. How many believe in counselors? I believe in counselors. I believe in getting help. I believe in chatting with people about some of the issues of your life. But do you know if you talk to the wrong counselor, you can get in a bigger mess, right? Because you are so focused on the past that you are not moving forward, right? And the reason that you need people around you who are moving forward is that you'll actually move forward with them. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said to them, what if you were surrounded by 99 people that didn't have a job and you didn't have a job? And wouldn't it be so easy just to talk about how there are no jobs? But what if you were surrounded by 99 people who are entrepreneurs and were making a business, and you're one person without a job, and now all of a sudden you're surrounded by 99 people who are making it happen? How many know that you're going to be influenced by that decision? Someone says limitless. Someone say, you can't stop me. But do you know that we just sung that nothing can stop God? But do you know this, that actually you can? Nothing can stop the sovereign plan of God. Jesus is coming back one day. He will destroy sin, death, and the devil one day. But do you know that you can actually stop the limitless one by your limited thinking? Do you know that I can stop God, that I can just quit? Right now, I can quit and just go, I'm done with it. And what God wanted to do through my life cannot transpire. So what's so interesting is that you can limit God's work in your life. You can limit the limitless one. But he wants you to unshackle some of the thinking and some of the thoughts that perhaps you have regarding your life. And I want you to say, God can do more through me. Come on, say it again. God can do more through me. Come on, say it again. God can do more through me. But he has to change my thinking. Now slap your neighbor and say, are you ready to change your mind? I was reading the scripture this week. I got up pretty early just to do my devotional time and so forth. And I was reading the book of Acts, and I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I just kind of threw out this little prayer, like, God, what do you want me to read? And often I might say that, and nothing pops to my heart, but 1 Kings 19 popped in my heart, and I was like, 1 Kings 19? I mean, God, I read that a lot last week, and I preached on that. And how many know God doesn't care? God's like, oops, I forgot. That's right. You've read it before. You know it. I could actually say to you and to every single person in here that the same chapter of the Bible you can get more out of and more out of. And sometimes you just don't need to jump around to 1,000 different scriptures. But what if you mastered 10? What if 10 became so in you that you function out of those 10? What if you became the person that now knows that God has a plan for you, but not just knows it, but now, okay, God, it's nice to know. How many know that God has a plan for your life? Okay, but how many know the next step is, well, what is that plan? Yeah. Right, God has a plan for your life. That's nice. I need to know the plan. And God wants to show you that plan. And therefore, that means that I can't just know that God has a plan for my life. I've got to seek God that he has a plan for my life. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, it is an interesting passage of scripture because you and I get the inside scoop on a conversation between God and a prophet, or I want to say the Heavenly Father and his son. Have you ever been in a room and there was kind of this awkward moment where a father is about to have a teaching moment with his son, but you got to watch it? Or if a mother has a teaching moment with her daughter and you were over the house. And so, for instance, my son would say something like this. I'm like, son, go to bed. He's like, but I haven't even had chocolate milk yet. Somebody call Compassion International, please. My son has not had his chocolate milk. Somebody call World Vision and get $30 a day or a month sponsorship. Okay, first world problems. And this is the interesting conversation that you and I are privy to and we get to jump into. And how many know that God does not record things in Scripture just for no reason? God records things in Scripture so that you and I would be privy to the conversation, to sit in the lounge room of the house of God and learn how God would talk to his son. And so Elijah has been beating Baal and beating the prophets of Baal, and then he gets tired. Someone say tired. And so the angels of God literally give him bread and water and tell him to go to sleep. How many like that suggestion? eat, drink, go to sleep, eat, drink, go to sleep. He does that, and then he runs off to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and he's in the mountain of God, and he's about to encounter God. He knows he's about to encounter God, but his thinking is messed up. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we jump into the text, and God says to him, "What are you doing here?" In other words, he is in the right place, but he has a wrong frame of mind. 1 Kings 19 says this. And he said, he replied, "I have been very zealous." Someone say, "very zealous."
Very zealous.
"I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty." Just hear the whine in his voice. "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left." That's a lie. How many know you can believe some truth and some lie, but it's distorted? "And now they are trying to kill me." And the Lord said this now. Watch this now. He says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord." What's weird about this text is that he does not even address what Elijah just said to him. He says, "I've been very zealous for you." In other words, "I'm doing you a favor. I've been serving you." How many of you ever got mad at serving God? Or frustrated at serving God? Or just like you think you're doing God a favor by serving God. Yeah. I've preached for you. Yeah. And he's like, "Really? I didn't know." It's as if Elijah says something so dumb that God just ignores him. "Go to bed, son. I haven't had chocolate milk yet." I'm not even answering that question. "Go to flipping bed. Go brush your teeth. Go get in bed and go to sleep." Fatherhood moment. And Elijah is acting like a little spoiled brat and he's upset. And he says, "Go stand in my presence." Someone say, "the presence of the Lord." And the Bible says that a wind comes and God is not in the wind. And then an earthquake comes and God is not in the earthquake. And a fire comes and God is not in the fire. And then the Bible says he whispers. And he stands in the presence of God. And it is an incredible moment. It is an encounter moment with his Father. He feels things he's never felt. It's one of those services. Have you ever been in a service? And the service was just like, oh, heaven showed up. You're just like, oh my goodness, I just need that again. And then God says to him once more time, "What are you doing here?" And then he says in verse 14, he replied. Now this is after, I want you to notice this. This is after being in the presence of the Lord. He says this, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Show verse 11. Verse 10. He replied, verse 10, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." Someone say, "That's the same." Come on, say, "That's the same." What baffled me about this text is that he just encountered God, but somehow the complaint had not changed. Which tells me something, that you and I can come to church for years, encounter even God, have incredible worship experiences, and go, "Man, I see it," and not change. He's saying the same thing that he was. And then God speaks again. And it's as if he ignores his statement again. He doesn't answer his question. He doesn't say, "I know, Elijah, you've been so zealous for me. Thank you for doing me a favor." He says this, verse 15, "Go back the way you came." I feel like a fatherhood moment here, don't you? Go back the way you came. Go back and do what you've always done. Hear my voice, deliver my word, and let people or set people free into their destiny. In other words, the way forward isn't healing his little broken heart because Jezebel wants to kill him. How many of you believe in counseling and inner healing and prayer and all kinds of stuff? I do too. And I don't want to underplay that. I think that is appropriate at the right time. But can I say this, that sometimes God says things to you that you and I don't necessarily like? It is the medicine for our soul, though. How many know that he did not say to him, "Oh, it's okay, Elisha. Jezebel's talking bad about you. I'm going to heal you of that hurt. I'm going to make it so you never think about it anymore. I'm going to make it so on the inside you just love Jezebel. I'm going to make it so you just adore Jezebel and want to send her flowers." He doesn't do any of these things. He says, "Go back the way you came." In other words, go use your gift and complete your assignment, for you are a soldier, not a wimp. You are a man, not a whiner. You are a champion, not a half-completed, half-done prophet. You are going to go do what I've called you to do. How many know that that sounds like a soldier's talking to someone? That sounds like no excuses. That's not a Dr. Phil moment. That's not Oprah moment. That's not how did you feel about that moment. How did you feel when this happened to your life? I don't want to underplay that, but sometimes the worst thing that you and I can do is talk about what happened in the past. Sometimes the worst thing that you and I can do is sit there and rehearse all the things that we've sacrificed for Jesus. Or all of the things that have potentially happened in your life relationally that seem to mess you up. I want to say to someone today, the way forward is simply the way forward. Is that God doesn't necessarily heal our past when we want him to. God sometimes just says, "Keep going, son. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit." How many know that God is the winning team? God doesn't lose. So the only way you and I lose is if we quit. Because when we quit, we're not on his team anymore. Because he's always moving forward. But how many are encouraged the fact that Elijah wanted to quit? Put your hands in the air if you just wanted to quit before. Some people got two hands in the air. Some people got toes in the air. Just kind of flick your toes. Just like, yes, my toes are up. Yes, it's my toes. They're up. I remember preaching a couple months ago, and honestly, I want to tell you it was the worst sermon I think I've ever delivered in my life, and I walked out this door right here. I thought to myself, I'm never preaching again. Funnily enough, one guy comes up to me, gives me a big hug. He's like, "I don't know, that one was for me." And I'm like, "Thank you, man." I didn't want to tell him I wanted to quit. But his encouragement to me meant a lot. How many know, though, it's easy to focus on one thing? One little thing. One little thing that someone says about you. Can I tell you this? Someone is going to say something about you. You're like, "Pastor Anthony, what do you mean? I'm going to serve Jesus and it's going to be lilies. I'm going to be jumping in the field and it's going to be lilies and dancing and he's going to be my shepherd." And understand this, shepherds, the reason sheep have shepherds is because there's wolves. So if there were never wolves, you don't need a shepherd. If nothing happened that was bad, you wouldn't need a savior. If nothing ever happened bad, we wouldn't need church, would we? But you need to come to the house of God over and over again, because sometimes you're going to want to quit. But I'm here to tell you today, don't quit. I'm here to tell you today, keep going. I'm here to tell you today, the way forward is the way forward. And it may be that God heals you of that thing, that emotion, that thing that someone said about you. But what if he doesn't? What if the way forward is just using your gift and going forward and going forward, and then you look back on your life and go, wow, because I didn't quit, that person got released into their destiny. That person is now serving God. That person, some of you are serving and giving and praying and doing it over and over again, and sometimes you show up Sunday morning and just like, this is worth it. And sometimes you feel like you're doing God a favor. I've been tithing. You're not doing God a favor. He's doing you a favor. He's already done you the ultimate favor, which is his son, Jesus. And guess what? You and I get to be on the winning team. Which team would you rather be on? The devil's? We already know how that's going to go. Not that good. Right? We do win in the end. But sometimes there's challenge in the process. Do you know the way forward sometimes in a marriage that's been rough for 15 years isn't to talk about all the things that happened in a marriage that went wrong for 15 years, but just have another good week? Just get out of church and go, man, I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love. I'm going to cook for him. I'm going to do things for him. I'm going to forgive or my wife or whoever it is. Are you with me? I'm preaching better than some of you are shouting. Some of you. Sometimes the way forward is just to go to the same job that you've had for 15 years, but go with a different attitude. Sometimes the way forward is to live in the same house, in the same state, with a different attitude. Sometimes the way forward, you know, I heard someone say to our kids, Pastor Katie, she was like, you know, one time I was about to do team rally, and she's doing team rally in our kids department, and she was like, hey, and she's all smiles and so forth. She's like, hey, are you guys doing good? And one of the person who was serving our church was like, I think you're the only one who's happy serving. Exactly. And I said, Katie, did you kick him? But what that simply said is that person's focus is all wrong. Why do you serve? I serve because I'm on planning center. I serve because somebody asked me and twisted my arm to serve. I'm served because I don't know what else to do. Or do you serve because you love Jesus? See, if you serve because you love Jesus, you just keep on serving. But how many of you know the devil wants you stuck in the details or the wrong things, or it wasn't as organized as you would like, or whatever it might be, or it was too organized? I don't like how organized they are. I don't like how disorganized it is. Which is it? It's your focus, because your focus affects your feelings. Your feelings affect your mood, and mood affects your action. Let me show you how I hear this sometimes. I think in culture, I've heard it in language. People say this, I can't help my feelings. Sounds good, doesn't it? I can't help my feelings. I just feel this way. It even sounds spiritual, doesn't it? You're like, oh, that's true. Wait a minute, that's not true. But how many know they just go, well, I feel this way. Well, if you feel this way, it must be true. Elijah felt like he was the only one serving God. Was it true? God tells him, go back the way you came. And then he almost does this underhanded statement. He's like, by the way, Elijah, I have 7,000 people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. In other words, it is not as bad as you think it is. It is not as bad as you think it is. Up on the screen, I want you to show the lilies. I want to show you just for a second that you're the flowers, whatever. They're not even lilies. Some scientific person was like, they're not lilies. They're, you know, some scientific name. I don't care. Anyway, look like lilies to me. Just everyone stare at this for a second. Stare. Everyone just go, ah. All right, next picture. Oh, yeah. Isn't that good? A little coffee, a little bread. Now, I like a little more milk in my coffee, lactate, to be honest. And how many feel me on the lactate? Right? Any lactose intolerance people? Let's all unite and after the service. And next picture. Hurricane. So think on that for a little while, and obviously your emotion changes, doesn't it, a little bit. What I'm trying to show to you just very quickly is that your focus changes your feelings. And now if it happens in 3 seconds, how many know it can happen in a day? How many know it can happen in a week? How many know if your focus is wrong for a year, your feelings will be wrong for a year? How many know if your feelings or your focus is wrong, what you don't have for 10 years, your feelings can be illegitimate for 10 years of your life? If Elijah, the man of God, got stuck, don't you think you and I can get stuck? I was telling a story years ago in Madagascar, and I was telling them kind of this story of how I didn't have much money when I grew up. See, that was my perception. That is what I thought. I thought, compared to other people, that I didn't have much money. And then all of a sudden, I realized my audience. See, I was a first world person telling them a first world sob story of not having much money, but I didn't realize I was in the top 94% of the world's wealth just because we had a car. In other words, my focus was on what we didn't have instead of what I did have. And so my feelings and my emotions and my mood about my whole childhood actually was jacked up. Actually, compared to lots of people, we were ballers. Little did I know, I was a baller and I didn't know it. I was like Bill Gates' kid towards some people. Are you with me? Now, show me the next picture. What have we got, guys? Just go, oh, yes, yes, yes. What are we saying? What are you saying? What you focus on becomes your feelings. So if you focus on God can never use you, your feelings will be God can never use you. God loves me but doesn't like me. Some people feel that because their focus is that. How many ever been in worship moments and the worship moment seems right but your feelings are everywhere else? Or the giving is another moment, and you know it should be a worship moment, you know it should be a faith moment, but your heart's somewhere else. And God corrects this prophet by not healing him of his inner hurt or what somebody said about him. God heals this prophet by saying, soldier on, advance, move forward, keep going, get back up again. Don't buckle to your feelings. Advance according to your faith. The way forward is the way forward. The way forward is the way forward. The way forward is the way forward. The way forward, it's not healing everything that you want healed in the past. That's forgiveness. But the way forward is the way forward. The way forward tomorrow will be forward. The way forward will be going forward. The way forward in Christian life is forward. The way forward in serving God is keep serving God. The way forward isn't necessarily a break, but it's forward. You know, years ago, someone said to Miriam and I, like, hey, we're burning out ushering. I don't know how you burn out ushering, but they needed a 6-month break. So let me say this, the way forward is not quitting. The way forward is forward. The way forward is to keep going. Why? Because God wants you to not be a quitter. What if you are limited, tied emotionally to dead things, or tied emotionally to half-truths, or tied emotionally to half-lies, or just even this? How about this? You had a powerful worship experience? And your answer is, I want another powerful worship experience. If my next worship experience isn't as powerful as that worship experience, I'm going to go to another church because that they might have a more powerful worship experience. But Elijah's job was to go from a worship experience to making a difference experience. To break the limitation of your life. It's not examining even all the inner turmoils of your life. You know, sometimes we kind of look within and say, God, show me things that are wrong with me. Show me where I'm believing lies. And look, sometimes like communion is a moment where you should reflect, and I think you should reflect and so forth. And just like, Lord, show me what's wrong with me. And he's like, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Where are the Christians who won't quit? Where are the Christians who won't quit? Where are they? Many of them are in this house. But I want you to join those same Christians who won't quit. I want you to join some people who will not say no to the call of God. I want to share kind of an encouraging moment for you. I felt like recently I asked the Lord something. I was like, Lord, have you ever reminded God of what you do? Everyone's guilty. That was this morning. I told the Lord the other day, not that he doesn't know, but I just wanted to tell him. I told him, I was like, Lord, I just want to let you know that I give tithes and offerings. And the reason I said it was because the last 2 months for Miriam and I had just been super tight, and I was worried about it, and I was looking at my budget, and the budget, how many know the budget sometimes doesn't line up? Like, you're looking at the budget and you keep like taking a dollar here and $10 here and $200. It doesn't matter what you do. You're like, oh, it's still over. That was my budget. Okay? But God has spoken in my heart that my son was to go to HCA, Hawthorne Christian Academy. He told me in first grade that he says by third grade he's going to need to go. And so it was kind of this thing, and it was, and Miriam and I signed him up, and kind of very unsure how we were honestly going to pay for it. Like, were we going to eat? Good question. But I really felt in my heart that God had told me to go. And so anyway, we sign him up, I don't know, on the Wednesday and so forth. And 5 days later or 3 days later or something like that, we get an email back. And they're like, hey, you just got some scholarship. But he was already signed up. It was already the faith moment. Like, he had started already. And once you start the school, you can't just back out because you're going to pay anyway. So we had to commit to moving forward by faith, even though we didn't have the answer. And then I was telling the Lord, I was like, Lord, I give tithes and offerings. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, and he whispered to me, he said, what are you believing for? I was like, well, I don't know. I literally was like, I don't know, which said to me, I should be believing for something. Like, I literally should be believing for something, because I honor you and I love you and I worship you and I sacrifice and so forth. But I felt like the Lord said to me, what are you believing for? See, the scripture says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. That isn't just a preacher talk or some get-rich-quick scheme or grab it and blab it and so forth. That's not that. That's Jesus. Because sometimes we throw out the baby with the bathwater, because somebody has had or preached it a bit too much, or perhaps someone has had wrong motives on it. But my job is to bring my desires to God and say, God, I want this. You seem scared of this. How many think that you should actually activate faith when you give? So I realized that I was not doing it. And so I began to tell the Lord exactly what I want. Amen. Now, he can deal with if some of those motives are wrong or right by not answering them. Does that make sense? So I told him very specifically, I was like, God, then by the end of this month, by the way, I need someone to give me over $1,000. I didn't tell anyone this. I told Jesus this. And here's the great thing about Jesus. He told someone else. You're like, what do you mean? Well, I prayed this, and I said, I need over $1,000. And he told someone else. And that person listened and gave me over $1,000. Right? And I was just encouraged by it, that sometimes the way forward is forward. But hear me now. It doesn't do me another. It doesn't do me good if I go, you know what? God has asked me to do something, but I'm going to study tithes and offerings again. Instead of do what he asked me to do. Because how many know that it is better if the church is the light of the world instead of studies the light of the world? Think about giving Christmas away. Is it better for us to have another Bible study that talks about being the light of the world? Or should we have a team effort to give as much away as we can through giving Christmas away? Right? Do you know that some churches are literally stuck in another Bible study instead of just being the study? Like, it does the church no good or the community no good if we're studying again instead of just being it. The way forward is the way forward. Let me ask you a question. How many know that Jesus' great commission is to make disciples of all the nations? So what part of that are you doing? Or do we need to study the Greek and the Hebrew on it so that you now know again what you knew 15 years ago, and so one day when you really get to it, you'll get about it. Pastor, I want something deeper. Go do something deeper. Go show the world Jesus is the King. If I study the armpit of the beast in Revelation and know why it's got weird bumps on it, how many know that that doesn't do a lick for our community? However, if we are a church that is generous and is loving and is kind and loves people and just says, here, we're going to serve, we're going to give, and we're just going to say, hey, this is because we love you and Jesus loves you too. How many know that is more impacting? Are you tired? Elisha eats, drinks, and goes to sleep. You tired? Go to sleep. Eat. Drink water. Right? Are you discouraged? Get in the presence of the Lord. Because you'll see him again. And you'll feel him again. And you'll sense God. And he'll come. But then, move forward. Move forward. Can the worship team come back? Heads bowed, eyes closed. What's the way forward for you? What's the way forward? What's the way forward? Actually, look this way. Look this way. Can I have 4 more minutes? Okay, 4 more minutes, 4 more minutes, 4 more minutes. I got about 24 more minutes. I can't get this thought out of my head, so I feel like it's the Lord, so I need to go to it. Let me tell you a funny story real quick. Someone needs to hear this in this house. I was apple picking yesterday. And at apple picking, there was this praying mantis on this leaf. And my wife pointed out, she's like, honey, look at this praying mantis. And my wife hates bugs. Like, a moth will just fly away just gently. And she's like, away from me, Satan. And I'm like, honey, it's not Satan, it's just a moth. one of God's creatures. Anyway, I went over to this praying mantis and it was huge. It was like this big, right? Stare at it, just stare at it. Everyone stare at it real quick. And I went really close to it and then I'm staring at it. And the weird thing was he started staring back at me. Like he literally was staring at me. And I'm like, in my head, like this all played out in about 10 seconds. I'm like, why is he staring at me? And in my mind, all of a sudden, I was like, he seems to be weirdly looking at me, like right now. And other people were around him, but he's staring at me. And then he did this. He literally went. Now, look at me for a second. Stare at me. Stare at me. That's what he did. And then in my head, I went, why is he doing that? So my face is this close to him. And then all of a sudden, he jumps on me. Now, I'm a man. I am. And I'm a man, I love manly things, okay? But when an insect this big is this close to you, and he does this, and then he jumps on you, I squeal like a little girl. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, ah! And it was like Kung Fu Panda. He's doing karate kicks and I'm trying to stop him. And then he fell off and was like, that's the weirdest Australian guy I've ever jumped on. That's what he said. Isn't it funny what little things you focus on? Little things you focus on get you afraid. What little things you focus on get you off your purpose. What little things you focus on, or sometimes some big things, but some little things become big things in your mind. And God says, the way forward is the way forward. Stop staring at your problems. Stare at me. Get in my presence, but do what I tell you to do. It's not just enough to get in my presence. It isn't just enough to have worship songs. It's not just enough to go to church. It is not just enough. You know what's enough? Moving forward with the call of God on your life. Do you believe it? Come on, do you believe it? Come on, give me a hand. Now you can bow your head and close your eyes. If you are far away from God for any reason, you used to follow God, you've never followed God, you used to be religious, perhaps you've never grown up in church, perhaps you grew up in church every day of your life, but you know without a shadow of a doubt, you've been running from Him for 3 months, 6 months, 6 years for the rest of your life. If you've never said yes to Him, understand Jesus loves you, but He died for you and He died so that your sin, my sin, could be removed from your heart, removed from your mind, removed from your heart, and it would never separate you from the Father again. So if you are separate from God, if you are separated from your Father, then right here and right now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm asking you to repeat that prayer and let that prayer connect you to the person of Jesus right now. Come on, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, right now, I need you. I am asking you to forgive my past, secure my present, and help me follow you in my future. Give me your vision for my life, for who I'll be, for what I'll do. From this day, I surrender and I choose not to focus on the past, but on your future for my life. I pray this now. In Jesus' name, may I never be the same. Heads bowed, eyes closed in this place. If you meant business with God in the overflow or in this room, every man, every woman, would you quickly say, Pastor Anthony, that's me today. Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me, all across this place. Hands, hands, hands. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, someone else. Thank you. Anyone else? Just quickly, raise your hand. Raise it up real high. Listen, don't let fear stop you. Don't let religion stop you. Don't let the fact that perhaps you've been in church for a long time stop you. Understand, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been far away from God, but now you want to live for Him one more time, let me just wait one more moment. Slip up your hand. Slip it up real high. Thank you, man. That's awesome. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. Another one over there. That's awesome, man. Awesome. Father, I pray for every man, every woman within the sound of my voice. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you speak to them? God, everyone that raised their hand, may they never, ever, ever be the same again. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, everyone said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen.